This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Yeah. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Thursday to you. It is Wake Up Call on Sportsmap Radio. It is a throwback Thursday today. We'll have that for you in the show. But last night, the NBA really delivered. It delivered in confusion, but it delivered nevertheless as the Rockets win Game 7, 104-102. I've been watching basketball since I was a little tiny kid. I was so lost in the last 10, 15 seconds of that game last night as to what exactly was happening. But look, in the end, it was... I have a lot of respect for Oklahoma City. You know that I've been saying this long, all the way through the postseason. This is a team that really shouldn't be here the way they were there. Played really well during the regular season. A team that was on the verge of rebuilding and had the Rockets on the ropes. The Rockets were a team that came in with a lot of expectations, high expectations, and played very tight in this series and didn't look all that great. Didn't look like they had something different or something unique or something that was going to be a problem for the top teams in the Western Conference. Throughout this entire series, they get a fresh start. It's a quick fresh start because they got to get right back to work on Friday when they take on the Lakers. But we're going to break down what happened in the final few seconds of this game because it's funny, but it's also confusing, and it's also a little sad given the Thunder had an opportunity to win this and couldn't pull it out. At the end of the game, Chris Paul kind of wiped away some tears. The season was over, but they really played well. James Harden played some defense, which was amazing because he couldn't play offense. And they advance and they move on to the Western Conference semis. Earlier in the day, the Milwaukee Bucks find themselves down 0-2 because Miami got a phantom call on Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that sent Jimmy Butler to the free throw line, and he knocked down two shots. And now the Heat are two wins away from knocking out the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And when you compare that to Boston, two games up on the number two seed in the East in Toronto. Look, that's not surprising because Boston's, you know, right there in the that elite level in the Eastern Conference. But it means the one and two teams in the East are in trouble. All right, so what happened in the last few seconds of the Rockets-Thunder game? We'll go over that coming up on a Throwback Thursday. Glad you could be with us. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
SportsMap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, with football, basketball, and baseball back, that means it's time to get down your bets. And BetUS.com is the sports book I recommend because they are the best in the business. Pioneer in online betting, more than 25 years in the biz. You get a sports book with integrity, longevity, and you're going to get paid. And you also need one that offers all sorts of kind of crazy bets, like live betting, MMA, golf, esports, all sorts of those. Call today 1-800-MY-BET-US. That's 1-800-MY-BET-US, and they will walk you through getting started, or you can go online to BetUS.com. No one in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. And right now, if you mention SportsMap Radio, you get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Remember to mention SportsMap Radio to get that bonus at BetUS.com or 1-800-MY-BET-US. So let's unpack the final seconds of the Houston Oklahoma City Thunder game. By the way, it is a throwback Thursday, 1995. I'll tell you why in a minute. But I've said this on Twitter. I'm not afraid to admit I was confused at the end of that game yesterday.
And I was right there with you.
I was confused. I was trying to figure out. Okay, it was like the NBA was trying to like They were, oh God, it's like one of those, it's like simulations, like not Ed TV, the Truman Show, right? Where there's like somebody behind the scenes going, throw lightning at them, throw thunder, throw a hurricane. It's like there was an NBA person on top of the building going like, throw a foul call with a timeout at the same time and throw a defensive play and throw a poked away ball. And like, it was so confusing how that game ended last night. But in the end, Houston pulls it away. And thanks to James Harden, who makes the block of the year. I mean, it's so unpredictable for Harden to make a block like that. You could not call that. And it was one of the great defensive plays because he's guarding Steven Adams in the middle at the time that the ball goes out to Lu Dort. And Harden has to go out to make to block. Otherwise, Adams is open. But he has to go there and he has to throw up a block and then have the wherewithal to realize that Dort is going to try to throw it off of him. And he jumps up like a gymnast as the ball goes through his legs.
Yeah,
like but it didn't matter because Dort was out of bounds. But it was still fantastic.
Like my son said, he'd be really good at dodgeball.
Yeah, was that. I mean, first of all, he must have even surprised himself that he was able to get back there and block that shot.
I think that's what the screen was for.
Right?
You know, the screen was like, yeah, but at the same time, like, I can't believe I just did that.
Right. Like, he's basically saying, wow, I never played defense, and I finally did.
Look what I can do, Ma.
Look what I can do in the waning seconds of this game. I mean, first of all, Lu Dort, fantastic. Undrafted rookie, putting in 30 points, knocking down shots everywhere he looked.
Yeah.
God bless that kid.
Once I saw that, I was glad that stat came out because I was like, okay, good. I've never heard of the kid.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
Feel like I should the way he was playing last night.
Me either. And then they pointed out that at various times in the series, he hadn't played particularly well. So he had one of those moments that happens with an NBA player that's like, the cylinder is like gigantic and he can't miss. So the Thunder, so at the end of that play, now this is what occurs then, right? So Harden makes the block and then he gets out of the way. And initially at that point, there is 0.5 seconds on the clock. But when they go back, they go, okay, no, Dort is out of bounds. So because he's out of bounds, there's more time on the clock.
Okay. Was he out of bounds? I thought it was Harden that was out of bounds.
Yeah, it was something.
I was so confused.
Well, the Rockets got the Rockets ended up with the ball, and no, and then they were fouled, and then the Thunder had a chance again with like 1.1 seconds on the clock. But here's where it got interesting. So they're inbounding the ball. It's basically throw it in. A guy might have a second to set and then shoot. So they draw up this play with like 1.1 second left where they got to get the ball inbounds, but then that person's going to be open enough to get a look. But they have a little bit of time to set themselves. So the ball gets inbounded and it's a disaster. It's a mess. But before that occurred, there was a timeout and a foul. So the inbound doesn't really matter because it goes Billy Donovan's calling timeout. But just before that, there's a foul. Chris Paul is like the only person that knows this, apparently, at the time. Right? Because he's screaming that there's a foul. There's a whistle. There's a foul. Then another Thunder came over to sort of say, yeah, this is a foul. So they talk it over. And then I was mistaken because this is where I was confused. But then it was I thought the officials waved off the foul and went to the timeout. The Thunder then said, no, there's a foul. And they said, oh, yeah, you're right. There's a foul. But he only gets one free throw. Danilo Gallinari only gets one free throw. It's irrelevant if he makes it or not. He ends up missing it.
Well, no, it's not irrelevant because if he does make it, then they can win by two. Or they can win with the two-pointer.
What I'm saying is it's irrelevant. They can't win the game.
They can't tie it.
They can't win and tie it. Like they still have to inbound the basketball. So they still have to inbound the basketball trailing in the game. So if they make a two-pointer, they tie the game. If they make a two-pointer, they win the game if Gallinari makes it. But it's not like the Jimmy Butler situation where Butler went to the line to win the game outright. So Gallinari goes to the line. He misses. They still have to inbound the basketball. And then they inbound the basketball. And it was the sloppiest decision to inbound the ball. It just went right in, and the Thunder, I mean, the Rockets just knocked it away. And it wasn't even anticlimactic. I mean,
no, it was panic.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was
because,
complete
panic. Because, you know, he only has a certain amount of time. There's no more timeouts. If he doesn't throw the ball in, it becomes rocket ball, game over. It was amazing to me that, you know, maybe do a pump fake, try to get someone to trip up. Maybe Steven, you try to throw it to Steven Adams. Why out there? I don't know. Is Steven Adams a great
Is he
going to
turn
shooter?
Around and shoot it? I thought it looked like his back was going to the basket. You've got to set up a play where the guy has he can take that half second set to shoot it. He can't have his back to the basket, and he can't be double teamed. He's basically going to catch the ball and fling it over his head. That's basically what's going to end up with. Listen, for those of you out there who are young basketball players, try to figure out as best as you can how long this time actually is. You know, go back to the Christian Laettner shot in college. Laettner knew how long 2.3 seconds was. He knew he could fake and turn around. He could dribble, fake, and turn around the shot. You've got to set up a play where 1.1 second leads to a certain thing, not just this panic, throw it into somebody who may just chuck it up.
Yeah.
They didn't even get a chance to chuck it up. The Rockets were suffocating in that play.
But it didn't really – I mean, yes, they were suffocating. It felt like the play that Billy Donovan drew up was, okay, all eyes are going to be on Chris Paul. Let's just take him out of the question, because Chris Paul ran to the corner.
Right.
And he was in no position to catch the ball, turn, and shoot. Isn't that the guy you want taking your last shot?
I would think so, right? Because, well, remember, when they had the play that led up – the play that led up to the Harden block, Paul – had the ball, like he tried to throw one into the corner, but it got knocked,
yeah.
Right? And that looked a little panicky to me too.
Oh, it definitely did, especially when the announcers are like, "Oh, you know, he always says he lives for these moments."
Right, exactly.
And then he passes it off. Okay,
then throws a terrible pass. Right, it just there was no rhythm to that. There didn't seem to be a sense of organization by the Thunder on either possession, right? Whether it was the possession that led to, because the pass to Dort was great only because it was set up by the knockaway, right? That was supposed to go into the corner that the Rockets had. The Rockets got their hand on the ball, got knocked away, but then was picked up by the Thunder, who swung it back to the other side to Dort, who was open. And if Dort was able to wait just a quick, maybe half second, maybe feed off of the Harden movement, he might have gotten Adams underneath. I think that Covington was coming in to play defense on that side, but who knows? Nevertheless, it looked unorganized, and then the inbound pass looked ridiculous. So the Thunder are out, and the Houston Rockets advance. For the Houston Rockets, this is the problem, because the Rockets, again, the Thunder had nothing really, no expectations. Again, a team that had Chris Paul, but were trying to rebuild. But the Rockets did come in with expectations of their style of play might be troubling to teams, maybe troubling to the Clippers, maybe troubling to the Lakers, maybe troubling to anybody they would meet. Sometimes you get a series like this in the first round where, yeah, this was a 4-5, but it's enough of a wake-up that they turn something on or do... But they have to be a lot better than this series if they're going to beat the Lakers, or even competitive against the Lakers, because they just did not look good at times in this series. There were times they looked, you know, all right. It was a 7-game series and they had their moments, don't get me wrong. But they did not look like they could beat a well-rested Laker team.
Nah.
And unfortunately, there is no time to breathe.
Yeah,
you gotta go right back to work. And I don't care. This is the other thing, too. Look, I'm not going to feel sorry for an athlete, an NBA player, you know, saying he's tired. They're professional athletes. This is what they do for a living. But at the same time, you can't expect high-quality play if you're going at it every other night all the time. I mean, if there's no break, even for travel or just to go to another city and relax for a bit or be on a team flight and regain your thoughts – they're going right back to the hotel. They're going right back to quarantine. They're going right back to this same way of living that they've had since July. It's got to emotionally affect and physically affect teams. And I mean, they're going right back to it. I mean, Now, maybe the Lakers come out a little rusty because they haven't had a chance to sort of do different things to occupy themselves since they've been off after their series was over against Portland. I don't know, but we'll see on Friday, I guess. All right, so we got Throwback Thursday going to 1995. We'll tell you why coming up next. We also got the passing of Tom Seaver. I want to get to that as well. And also the Big Ten's plan to play college football. We'll keep you updated on that. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I said it earlier, the Miami Heat-Milwaukee game ended controversially with Jimmy Butler going on the line. He got fouled with no time left from Giannis, who came in to try to make a block on his shot and just brushed him ever so slightly after he released the ball, which is not a foul, by the way. That sent Butler to the line with no time left in a tie game, and he knocked them both. And now Miami leads 2-0, and everybody lost their mind. You know, I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know, for nobody watching the NBA, Twitter really exploded yesterday when that went down. But apparently nobody's watching the NBA and nobody cares.
Yeah.
But, well, I know Twitter is a small sample size and I get it, but it really did explode yesterday. It was pretty phenomenal to watch. I like watching something and going on Twitter and seeing everybody comment on the same thing. And I follow all sorts of people. I follow different, you know, celebrities, people in my business, just general people, you know, just people in general. And everybody seemed to be on the same page that wasn't a foul and that should not have been called. And listen, there's two ways to look at officiating. And I don't think there, you know, either, both of them have merits. If you're, you know, if you go into a particular way here, one is that you say, I just don't want the whistle to be blown. I want them to play. Like you say, you know, swallow the whistle and let them play. You know, you see it at the end, you know, maybe even football games or basketball games where you just don't want the action or the drama or the moment, especially in hockey too, where you don't want that to be ruined by a call. Like you want it to just have guys play. But then there's the flip side of that where people are like, look, a foul is a foul or a violation is a violation no matter what time it comes on the clock. Right. If I drive the lane with 30 seconds remaining and I get fouled, it should be called as if I was driving the lane with 12 minutes on the clock right away in the first quarter of a basketball game, whatever it is. In that particular case, Giannis is coming in to make a block and you're an official and you see what you think is a foul. You blow the whistle. Credit to the official at the moment for not noticing or not thinking about the circumstances of the moment, right? He's not thinking, A, it's a tie game. B, I'm calling a foul that's going to put this guy on the free throw line with a chance to win it and go up 2-0 in the series. All of that is out of his head. He's not thinking about any of those things. He just calls what he sees. Now, I wish that somebody would have stepped up and said, let's really, you know, discuss this, but they saw it on the replay and they felt like Giannis did make contact while he had the ball. I didn't really get it. I kind of thought it was afterwards, but nevertheless, Butler wins it. And now the Miami Heat, a very pesky and annoying Miami Heat team. And I mean that in a positive way. I don't mean an annoying, like when your kid's driving you crazy and needs to keep his mouth shut. I mean like annoying, like this is the kind of team that comes in to the postseason scrappy, they come at you, they know how to beat you, they do beat you, they kind of frighten you a little bit because they're not going away. And if you're Milwaukee, this is troublesome because you've got to now win 4 games against a team that kind of knows they can beat you. And not only know they can beat you, they can play with you. You know, Miami's not playing on some borrowed sort of talent here that's going to go away and disappear when the clock strikes midnight. They know they can beat Milwaukee. They feel like they've got defensive matchups that can beat Milwaukee. And Giannis isn't particularly shooting very well. So the Heat are up 2-0, and they will, and Milwaukee doesn't have home cooking or anything else to look forward to in this series. It's just back to the same old Disney World court, and they're playing a team that knows how to win. All right, we said 1995 was our throwback Thursday, and we are doing that because on this date back in 95, the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars made their NFL debuts as expansion franchises. Do you remember those good old days when these two teams were just coming into the league? And all right, we've got a team in Charlotte and we got a team in Jacksonville. I remember when the league announced they were going to put a team in Jacksonville, and I thought it was such a good idea. Jacksonville was a hot football town. It was a big city, not a big city like New York, but a big city in terms of like size. It's a huge city in terms of size, like landmass. And I thought, you know what? They love their football there. It's, you know, North Florida. This is a perfect place. Put a team there. Yeah, that's great, NFL. And Charlotte, that's a city that needed a football team anyway. This was good. These two teams made the AFC and NFC championship games in year two. Their second year in existence.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, you think about it. If you live in those cities, if you were lifelong, and I had an uncle who lived in Jacksonville. If you lived in those cities, you've been waiting for the NFL to like, I can't wait for these teams to be put in and get an organization and a uniform and a logo, you know, because they announce it a few years before and then it takes a while to build the team. And you're like, wow, I can't wait. I'm all in. I may root for the Raiders or I may root for the Buccaneers or the Atlanta Falcons, but this is my team now. This is my city. This is my team. And in the second year, they're playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know if that's good for the NFL or bad for the NFL, because it's good because it means, look, if you do it right, if you put an organization together, you can be competitive. But at the same time, it makes other teams like, it shows the spotlight on dysfunctional organizations that can't get their act together and go, oh, yeah, we've been doing this for such a long time that we have no idea how to do what those two expansion franchises were able to do in 15 months. So I remember those two teams. I remember Kerry Collins was the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He's a kid out of Penn State.
I was trying to remember who the quarterback for the Jaguars were.
Mark Brunell? Was he the first one? Was it
one?
That early? Might have been. No. Well, maybe. I don't know. But I remember they played the Patriots and Drew Bledsoe. That's how they got to the AFC championship game. I think it was Mark Brunell because they beat the Broncos. Yeah, I think maybe, I'd be looking. But nevertheless, those two teams, and now you look at Jacksonville, for example, and they are just absolutely inept.
Yeah.
Oh, Leonard Fournette went to the Buccaneers yesterday.
Yeah, by the way.
And they have drafted all sorts of players that they have now gotten rid of because they don't fit a system that doesn't seem to be working for Jacksonville anyway.
I love how that's an afterthought now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in a way, it's kind of huge news, but it's just like, yeah, Fournette's with the Bucks because everyone's going there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Fournette's with the Bucks. Why not? Join the party. LeSean McCoy just went there last month.
Yep.
Right? Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, LeSean McCoy. And now you've got Leonard Fournette showing up, the fourth overall pick in the draft a couple of years ago. This is the thing. Imagine if you had a friend. And they kept dating girls. And every girl that they get, they say, this is the one, right? And you go, man, Bob, we keep hearing this all the time. And they go, no. She's the one. She's the one for me. She's perfect. She's everything I want. And then he comes up to you a couple of days later or 6 months later or whatever it is and goes, yeah, no, that didn't work out. She just doesn't fit. She doesn't meet any of my criteria whatsoever. And you go, okay. And then they do it again. 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 Don't you think after the fifth or sixth time they finally say, this is the one, you go, Bob, can you just do me a favor? Just tell me what kind of person you want and let's help you find that mate for the rest of your life. Because when you say that she's the one, it doesn't seem to work out. That's Jacksonville with their draft picks. Every time they have a pick in the top 10, they take a player and then they go, this is the guy. This is the franchise guy. This is the guy that's going to do this. This is the guy that's going to do that. A few years later, they go, oh, no, he doesn't fit our system anymore. He can't do the things we want to do. We're going in this direction, and he doesn't allow us to go in that direction anymore. How about this? Why don't you determine which direction you want to go and then draft guys that fit that based on your scouting in college rather than taking third overall picks and fourth overall picks and shipping them out there to the NFL world. crazy. But congratulations on your anniversary of playing football.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Hey, glad you could be with us on a Throwback Thursday. This is Hootie and the Blowfish, Columbia, South Carolina's very best, very finest.
That's right.
I went into a bar at Five Points when I was 18 years old, snuck into a bar to see Hootie and the Blowfish. And when I say snuck in, I just followed a friend of mine that was sneaking in, so I just followed him.
But
it wasn't some master plan.
But it was before they were Hootie and the Blowfish,
it was before they were Hootie and the Blowfish. In fact, okay, this is one of those stories that people tell where they want to give themselves more credit than they deserve, so they sort of stretch the truth.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stretch the truth, and I don't stretch the truth when I tell this story. So I saw Hootie and the Blowfish before they were big. I was a freshman at South Carolina. A buddy of mine was like, let's go down to Five Points. Hootie and the Blowfish is playing, and let's go see them. And I have a friend of mine that can get us in. And I said, okay, that'll be great. I've got nothing to do. Let's go to Five Points and see this band. So I went in and saw the band. Here's where people would stretch the truth. Yeah, I saw them, man, before they were big. I knew they were going to be big, man. I snuck into this bar because I just had to get, you know, Hootie and the Blowfish because I knew they were going to make it. I didn't even know who they were. I just knew of them. Like, I knew that there were like little stickers on walls that said who they were. But I never heard their music. I wouldn't recognize them if they came up to me and told me they were Hootie and the Blowfish. I didn't know who Darius Rucker was. I only went because my buddy was like, come on, man, let's go. Let's go down to Five Points and see Hootie and the Blowfish. And I was like, I got nothing to do. Let's go. Plus, he's like, my friend can help us sneak into this bar. And I'm like, I'm in. Why wouldn't I be in? Let's come in.
Sneak me into a bar.
So it could have been anybody. There could have been no band. I would have gone anyway. So when I tell people I saw Hootie and the Blowfish before, it makes you sound bigger than you are. But the real circumstances was I didn't know what I was doing. I just followed my buddy. I ended up seeing Hootie.
I have a similar story, but I was your buddy.
Oh, okay.
Because I dragged people to go see Sublime.
Oh, very good.
Before Sublime really went mainstream.
I like Sublime. Yeah, that's great.
I had their album. I was into them, and I was like, come on, guys. You know, because I couldn't go by myself.
Good for you.
That'd be weird, right?
Go
by yourself.
That's weird.
So, yeah, I rallied the troops and said, no, trust me. You guys want to go. You want to go. And none of them really liked it.
They didn't?
No, they didn't.
I mean, Sublime.
There was a few songs that they like, and then all of a sudden they become popular, and, you know, a year later or something, that's when they really take off, and they're like, oh, man, you know, we always like this. You know, this band is rock. And I'm like, dude, you guys didn't like it when we went there.
Yeah, that's good.
Come on now.
Yeah, good for you reminding them of that.
Of course.
That's good for you.
It was kind of a, you know, a bleep, if you will,
back
in college. I kind of still am, I guess.
When South Carolina went to the Final Four, I got a chance through this network to interview Darius Rucker on just Gamecock Sports. And
how fantastic is that?
I know. And I always thanked the network for that, because that was, for me, that was such a big deal, because there are moments as a fan where you're just like blown away by what's happening. Like if you root for a team that stinks and they end up in the Super Bowl or the World Series, you know, there's a little emotion that goes on. And when the Gamecocks made the Final Four, it was something I thought I'd never see. So Darius Rucker and I, I'm doing this interview with him. And the interview goes from, hey, let's talk about the influence, you know, how South Carolina athletics. We end up going down the rabbit hole where both of us are just lamenting all of the failed promises of the team through the years, where they lost in the first round after being a 2 seed and being a 3 seed, and, you know, like getting some of the coaches that have come to coach basketball there and that have just disappeared, you know, just went into the witness protection program and you never heard from them again. And so it just went down this weird, these guys are really celebrating, but they're also sort of going down this road of just lamenting all the horribleness of the basketball team for the few decades that they've been fans.
I'm going to take a guess and say that it wasn't face-to-face.
No, it wasn't.
Because if it was face-to-face, I think it would have been one of those where commercial breaks would have been blown.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, you guys would have been like, nah, this is going to be a long, long-form interview, guys.
He did come... He did come to Colorado Springs where I was working because he became a country artist.
Yes.
And we had a country station, so he showed up to do an interview and a bit with our country station. But they let me, you know, they said, go see him. I know you're a huge fan of his and you guys are Gamecocks and whatnot. So I did get to talk to him a little bit about that. But back then we talked football. We didn't even talk basketball. So, yeah, that was all about Spurrier getting on the team, you know, coaching the team.
Did you drop the line? Hey, I saw you at Five Points.
I did. I told him that. I said I snuck into a bar at Five Points. I couldn't remember the name of the bar, but because he asked me, so what bar? Because we played a couple of them. I said I can't remember. I just followed a buddy. Yes.
I was 18. I was so nervous. Yeah. I was going to get thrown in the slammer for a month, 2 months, have to call my parents to bail me out.
That's right. Yeah. I wanted to tell him, I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know who you were. I went in there just because my buddy said, let's go. And I didn't even notice that you existed until your promotional album came to the radio station I was working at 5 years later. So
you're like, hey, that name sounds familiar.
1995's Throwback Thursday, by the way, for the anniversary of the Panthers and the Jaguars' first game in the NFL. So the Big Ten could be playing football this fall. All right, we talked about this yesterday. It has become, and this, can I just...
All right, real quick. This is about as confusing as the last night's game.
Go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The Big Ten playing, not playing. It's about it's on par with the Rockets Thunder ending.
You have no idea what's happening here. Here's what I'm worried about. And again, I'm going to break another little rule of this show. I do not go down the political avenue. I think there's too many shows that are doing that today. But I can't help it with this story because the president talked to the commissioner of the Big Ten. And if there's any influence here, if you have college football coming back to Big Ten country, this is going to be weaponized as a political angle.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to become a political issue that I keep saying over and over again, I wish sports wasn't a part of. I like it when sports is separated from politics because I think sports allows us to have a diversion and something else because we deal with the political world almost on a daily basis. So I don't like it when the two worlds come together, but they're going to come together. And believe me, I'm telling you, this is going to be a major issue if college football comes back in October for the Big Ten, because you've got this very contentious political race for president, and you've got the president influencing or possibly trying to influence the decision of a conference to play, and a fan base that really doesn't understand why they're not playing anyway. Sure, you've got some people that are like, no, coronavirus, but I would venture to guess a majority of people who really root for Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, name your team in the Big Ten, is probably more on the lines of, let's just do this safely, do this with protocol, but let's do this.
I mean, these are the same people who are looking down south going, well, they just had a game.
Exactly. You know, and tonight you're going to see it even more because there's two games on the slate. They're not huge games, but they're games nonetheless.
Yeah, what is it? Like there was a report yesterday, like Georgia. I think maybe it's University of Georgia has like 800 some odd cases.
Yep.
Of COVID, and that's just because, you know, classes started and it went from like 100 something to 800 something in 1 week.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't hear any talk of Georgia football going, you know what, we're going to play it on the safe side and we're not going to play.
No, and that's what.
And that's going to be very hard to sell to Big Ten country.
And this is the thing too, right? Look, we as Americans, we are not a society, we are not a people that likes to live in fear. We just don't. We're just not bred that way.
Yeah, because these colors don't run.
Right. We just don't. Exactly. We, like, when 9/11 occurred, you know, a lot of young people signed up for the military to go fight that. Right. People were, you know, cheering on George Bush at the rubble because he said we were going to, you know, these people will answer for this. We are fighters. We fight through things. It doesn't matter whether it's terrorism or if it's a known enemy like in World War II. We want to fight adversaries, and a virus is an adversary. We don't like to cower in fear. We don't like to be locked away in our homes. We don't like to have our daily lives totally uprooted because we want to fight back and we want to, you know, fight back against this virus. So now you imagine you've got this section of the country that is all battlegrounds or like important battleground states, right? Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, they could move the election. And so now you've got, again, citizens who want to fight this virus and overcome it. And then you've got a president that's influencing college football, a thing they love and love a lot. If you don't think this is going to get weaponized, if indeed football is played, you're fooling yourself. This becomes a hot, hot issue for the election.
Yeah, or clear it up a little bit. He's laying claim that it's going to be all him.
Right,
that did
right.
It. We don't know. They could have made the decision beforehand, but...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The Big Ten can claim all they want that they decided to play without the phone call, but the phone call was made.
Yep.
And then they're gonna if they play football, people don't have time for the details. They want the Cliff Note version of everything, and the Cliff Note version of this is no football. President calls football. That's the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, I mean, or take it to the other way. No football. He made the call. Still no football. Hey, battleground states. I tried. I fought for you guys. Because I'll guarantee you're not getting the same phone call to the Pac-12.
And personally, no kidding. He's not. He's like, I can't win California, so you stay dormant.
Doesn't even matter.
I don't care. Oregon, Washington, those aren't going my way. So you guys chill. I could win Arizona. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But you know what? Those other three states, you just lock yourself away. I don't care. But yeah, if I need to win Wisconsin to win the election, we got to get Badger football back on the field.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like this because I want these decisions to be made with proper evaluation, right? I want these decisions to be made on, look, if it's too hot in Michigan, and I mean coronavirus hot, to play college football, but it's not at South Carolina, then play football at South Carolina and don't play at Michigan. I'm okay with that. If you tell me the data is saying that the virus is too rampant in one particular location than another, I'm okay with that. But to make college football and the playing of college football now a political football, if you will, I'm not looking forward to this because you're going to see a lot of advertising about on maybe even both sides on how this is going to influence the election.
No, I mean, you said it best yesterday. You don't really want government to influence sports.
Right.
You know,
right.
Except in rare occasions like, hey, baseball.
A couple of times it has to.
You need to end the strike. Or, hey, baseball, there's a steroid problem.
There was a steroid problem that they were ignoring, and because there was a criminality aspect to it,
yeah.
I think that the congressional hearings were correct in saying, look, if you're not going to do anything, we're going to do something. This is a lot bigger than home run records. This is infiltrating all the way down to all levels of baseball. We got to get behind it. That's fine. I'm okay with certain things
like
that.
Did they step in for the 94 strike because both sides couldn't come to an agreement, so they canceled the World Series? I thought...
There was a judge, Sonia Sotomayor, is on the Supreme Court now. She was the one that basically helped, her decision helped end the labor dispute between the two sides in 95 after the 94 season was canceled. So, yeah, a couple of times that does happen. And look, I pick my poison on that one, all right? There's some times where I say, okay, this is appropriate. But this feels weird to me that a conference made a decision. I can disagree with that decision. I think it was done too early. But again, the ramifications of this is going to be phone call made. If they play football, it becomes a political weapon in the election in November. And that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen here. And so I don't know. Again, we don't know if the conference is going to play or not. We don't know what the format would be. Maybe they don't. Maybe they're just talking right now and realizing, yeah, maybe we should just stick to a spring plan if we're going to do it. But if they play in October, like people are saying they're going to, or at least deciding on going to, man, you're not going to get enough. You will be so tired of it as a political weapon. It'll drive you crazy. Or maybe not. Maybe you're on the other side and it'll be fine.
It's going to be commercials on it.
Exactly.
Shown on a Saturday where there's no Big Ten football, but there's SEC football.
They're going to be showing empty big house and empty horseshoe and saying, this could have happened, but I tried. You're right. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Glad you could be with us. 1995, the anniversary of Carolina and Jacksonville expansion franchises into the league. Not to mention the other expansion franchise would come a few years later, and that was the Cleveland Browns. Houston came in. Let's see. What was the other? Houston came in as a response to
Tennessee.
Cleveland. In terms of evening it out. So they gave a team to Cleveland after that team moved to Baltimore, and then they gave a team to Houston after they moved to Tennessee.
So when St. Louis getting theirs?
Exactly. If I'm St. Louis, I'm like, you know, we've been screwed twice, right? Yeah. So can you give us a permanent team that belongs to us and us alone? That isn't going to run away to the western part of the United States.
Maybe they're waiting for another team to move, like Jacksonville moving to England.
Yeah, right.
And then they'll be like, oh, okay, now we'll give St. Louis and Jacksonville a team.
I would love to talk to somebody who really, really knows the history of the Jaguars, like one of those people that's been there since day one, to tell me at what point did the franchise go from, man, this is great. We are in Jacksonville. This is fantastic. We're so excited. To every year, the rumor was they were moving somewhere. Los Angeles, Portland. They were moving to, you know, St. Louis if it was available. They were moving to London. How quick did it go from we're so happy to be here to there's a possibility they may be moving? Because I feel like the Jacksonville moving to another city has been around for a decade at least.
Yeah. Didn't they host a Super Bowl?
Yeah, they did, and it was so bad they're never going again. Not the game, just the city itself hosting it. That's a report that it wasn't as good of a host city. I like Jacksonville a lot. I think it's a good town, but they didn't do a very good job hosting the Super Bowl. Apparently, it was a Super Bowl 39, I believe. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.